So today we are continuing with our second week of this four-part teaching series called Suit Up. And today we're going to venture to explore Holy Spirit as we lean in to unpack the supernatural. And what we are beginning to understand is this: what you see in the physical realm, friends, what you see with your eyeballs, what you see in the physical, what you touch and smell and sense around you in the natural, is not all there is. It's not all you, what there is to this. Not all. And with that realization, we want to take a deeper look, a good look at some real supernatural issues to find out how do they play into our natural world. The very world that we live in and work and study and play. Last week we learned about spiritual warfare, and I encourage, if you missed it last week, jump in on YouTube and the library of teachings that we have. I believe it will help you. I believe it will equip you for the season that you were in, the battle that you were actually fighting. Will help you understand what your role is and what the Holy Spirit's role is in your life. I believe it will bless you. It will equip you to war in the spiritual realm. Next week, Darren, from one of our leaders in from our teaching team, will be bringing a word next week on, what are we bringing? Demons next week. We're going to talk about demons. What? What do demons do in our world, and how do they play into our life? Woo, right? Spooky. But we're going to beat the world to Halloween, and we're going to get there first. And then lastly, finally, Pastor Claudio from Victoria will be with us in the fourth week and wrapping up and talking about angels. And how do we pray to them? Do we talk to them? Where do angels fit in all of this? How do they play into our life? But today I want to talk to you about the reality and the power of the Holy Spirit. As God wants to, I believe, and I know he does as well, to empower believers to live what? A supernatural life. All right? Now, I don't know about all about you, but when I was growing up, I learned of the Holy Ghost at a young age. Yet I've also noted throughout my short life on earth that not everyone has had a good experience with being around others who have also believed in the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, if you're a King James Version person. That's okay too. We still have room for you. Some of you have probably even been kind of weirded out by what you maybe have witnessed and or has been dubbed as the Holy Spirit moving, right? Especially now that we have YouTube shorts and reels, we can see all kinds of stuff in our religious culture, in our Christian culture, and we'd be seeing all kinds of crazy sometimes. And we're like, what is this? And what do I do with this? I don't even know where to begin. So that's why it's important that we talk about these things and that God will help us understand, that we would come to a realization of who Holy Spirit is and what is Holy Spirit doing in our lives. Maybe for you, it's easier to understand God as the Father. It makes sense, right? It's relatable. I have an earthly father. I kind of know what that might feel like. And maybe you've had a poor fatherhood experience, and maybe you don't relate with Father, but you relate with God as being big and supernatural, who created the earth and the world and everything in it. Or maybe you have a picture of Jesus in your living room and he's got long blonde hair and blue eyes and a golden beard. Whatever, you know, like, maybe that's what you relate with is when you think Jesus or think God and think Holy Spirit. But this Holy Ghost stuff, it just might seem kind of weird for you. And in fact, when you hear about a church that is way into the Holy Ghost or way into the Holy Spirit, you might think of people maybe running around in holy rollers and waving flags and blowing horns or whatever you might think of, right? When you think Holy Spirit church or way into Holy Spirit. People in suits and ties and girls in long dresses and buns on their head or whatever it might. You've got a picture when you think Holy Spirit in a church world. Tambourines everywhere, right? And you might also wonder, why are people speaking in different tongues or different languages? It seems kind of weird. Like, what's going on around here? It just seems, well, so foreign to you, so out of this world per se. Something that would be hard for you to understand, especially when there is no explanation. See, Peter got up on his soapbox and said, hey, this is that. And that's what we want to be able to do in this church when there's a word of prophecy or a tongues and interpretation or someone's experiencing God in a different way and they're physically, you know, the sensations that they, maybe it's different than you've ever experienced, but we want to be able to explain that. How? Through the scripture, because we see it in scripture as well. This is that which the ancient prophet Joel spoke of. So Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost, well, maybe it seems very unusual and weird to you. So you've concluded, well, it probably just isn't for me because it's just a little bit beyond me. And I don't want to be weird, and I don't want to be unusual. I don't want to be like that weird uncle or Aunt Edie, right? Or on the flip side of being weird and unusual is that maybe outside of church or at work or at home, some of those holy roller people, maybe they seem kind of hostile sometimes. Maybe that's what you've witnessed in your encounter with Holy Ghost people or Holy Spirit people. They've been belligerent and arrogant maybe or entitled. And if that's Holy Spirit, I don't think I want any of it. Maybe that's been your experience, which I think many of you have possibly have had similar experiences like that. There seems to be a real pendulum swing when we talk about Holy Spirit in our churching world, when it comes to Holy Spirit. And like we looked at last week, there are two issues in our church, and in our churches, I should say. One, there would be some where the pendulum swing looks like what I would call an overemphasis, where it's pneuma-centric, where it's lost its way in some ways, where Jesus is no longer the center, but Holy Spirit is the center. And then you've got the other side of where it's all bibliocentered, and Holy Spirit and Jesus are way over here, and it's all bibliocentered. It's good, these are good things, but it's a pendulum swing. Woo, right? But there's a third way, and we call it Jesus-centered living, where Jesus is at the center of my living, where Jesus is at the center of my passions and my motivations, at the center of my marriage and how I raise my children and what I watch and what I engage in. And is Jesus in the center of all those passions and motivations and desires? Because he still is the way and the truth and the life. You can speak in tongues all day and live like the devil is what I'm saying in English. You can read the Bible all day long, but if you don't have the way, the truth, and the life at the center of my life, at the center of my faith, then you have a pendulum swing. And what we want to do is learn how to understand how can I live Jesus-centered and understand the role and place of the Holy Spirit in my life still. And when it comes to Holy Ghost, maybe some of you have been there and know someone like this or whatever, it's okay. There's actually an overemphasis of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Right? Everything is Holy Ghost come and Holy Ghost, and something odd happens in their day and a book falls off the bookshelf. You know, it's like, Holy Ghost, bind your demons of the books in Jesus' name, kind of. It's like overemphasized, right? But what is probably far more common, a far more common problem in our churches today is actually an underemphasis, more so than the overemphasis. An underemphasis of the Holy Spirit. And we seem to understand God as Father and God revealed through his son Jesus. And then there's that other one, the weird uncle. And God, the one we don't talk about, kind of like I said, the weird Aunt Edie, right? We talk about every once in a while. That nobody wants to bring up at the family dinner. I don't really understand. And I know there is a Holy Spirit and we read it in the Bible. It's actually mentioned over 800 times in the scripture, Holy Spirit. But we don't talk about it often. We tend to let it be for those people over there, or only for them first century Jesus followers. And since they died, then the Holy Spirit's no longer moving since they all died. It's not for us. So we have this overemphasis and this underemphasis of Holy Spirit. Just like last week we learned about demons and fighting spiritual warfare, we have this overemphasis and underemphasis. But today, as we study scripture, what we find is that Holy Spirit is actually absolutely and completely necessary for your day-to-day living. It's essential to live the life that God actually wants you to live as followers of Jesus. Because God has so much more for you than where you are at today. You still have another step to take in your spiritual formation, in your spiritual maturity. God wants to fill his children with his Spirit. So what? So that we can live a supernatural life. So you can live pleasing to God in all of your ways, in all of your rhythms and patterns. So, because this is not my wisdom and this is not my idea, let's look at the words of Jesus as he was preparing to leave his disciples to give his life on the cross and to be raised to heaven. And this is what Jesus says in John 14, 16, and 17. He says this. He said, I will ask the Father. This is just before he's about to go away. And he will give you another counselor, capital C. And he says, and it's not just for a little while, friends, for those of us who might believe that the Spirit has ceased moving in the earth today. But it says, to be with you forever. And then he goes on, who is he? Verse 17 says, he is the what? He is the Spirit of truth. Say it aloud. He is the Spirit of truth in my life. The counselor is the Holy Spirit. See, too many are living without the Spirit of truth in their life, the Holy Spirit in their life, and the Spirit of truth, or the YouTube channels that we're watching, or the material that we're consuming, or the pictures, or whoever we're surrounding ourselves with, that becomes our truth. It's subjective. But God says, I'm going to give you the counselor, and he is the Spirit of truth to live and dwell in you. I thank God for the Spirit who is still talking and still leading and still teaching me and still counseling me and still comforting his followers even still today. Where would I be without him? Where would you be? That might be a question you might ask yourself. Where would I be? Now, these are the words of Jesus, and they teach us a whole lot about Holy Spirit. Scripture continues, though, and this might relate to you. It says this, the world cannot accept him. Holy Spirit we're talking about, because it neither sees him nor knows him, which is where I have been sometimes in my life, and I know maybe some of you have been there as well. Maybe you're feeling skeptical and not sure about this whole Holy Spirit thing, the Holy Ghost. I don't know him, and I can't really see him, so therefore I will not accept him. But Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, to his followers, but you know him. This is this gnosko thing. You know him in an intimate and tangible and real way. You know him. And then Jesus, he gives this promise, for he lives within you. He will be in you. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, you know him and he will be with you and he will live and dwell in you. Now, what is interesting to me is, first of all, the Holy Spirit is not an it. Sometimes people will say, well, it's leading me to do something, yet actually Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as him. Very literally, God in spirit form. So when you read about the Holy Spirit in Scripture, you find that you can actually grieve the Holy Spirit, that you can quench the Holy Spirit. So you're learning that the Spirit as God in spirit form actually has emotions. The Bible says the Holy Spirit loves you. And Jesus says, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send the Spirit to be within you. The very mind and character of Christ in you. And he calls him a counselor. Now I have this for you in Greek. That most of the New Testament scriptures were written in Greek. And some Bible translations may use the word helper instead of counselor, advocate, or comforter. But the word here comes from the Greek word parakletos, actually. Or the root word is the paraclete. And it comes from two words. Para, which means to be alongside of, like a paralegal. To come alongside, like a parachurch, not a church, but coming alongside a church. Right? And kletos comes from the Greek word kaleo, which means called. Very literally. The paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is the one who is called alongside of you to do life and ministry with you, to do a marriage with you, to raise your children with you, to be the inside of the believer. Who is the parakletos? Literally, this word can be translated as an intercessor. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the one who intercedes or is praying on your behalf to the Father. He's also your counselor. The Holy Spirit is your advocate before God, and he's your comforter, and he's your helper, the paracletos, God in spirit form, friends, who is called alongside of you to live inside of you, to be your comfort, to be your counsel, your helper, your guide, very literally, to be your friend. Can I get an amen there? Is it okay if you would believe alongside me tonight that the Holy Spirit wants to be your friend? He wants to come alongside you in every aspect of your life and all your rhythms and patterns and motivations. What a beautiful thing. I think sometimes we forget how powerful and how beautiful this relationship with our living God is. We're comfortable as North Americans and we forget the power and the reality of the living God through his Spirit in us. Now, maybe when you think of the choice between having Jesus in the flesh alongside you, you know, maybe gaming and playing Call of Duty with you or whatever you do in your spare time, Holy Spirit with you. Maybe you're walking down the street and you're hungry and poof, a cheeseburger comes out. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Maybe you got a headache. You're like, oh, I got a headache again. And bang, Jesus is with me. I can see clearly again. The rain has gone and everything's good. Headache's gone. Jesus in the flesh with you would be pretty amazing. But Jesus is actually showing us that there is actually something that is better for us than him in the flesh. And this is amazing promise that he has for us in John 16 and 7. He says, it's actually better for you, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Paracletos, the helper, the intercessor, the comforter, the counselor, advocate, the Holy Spirit won't come. And if I do go away, he will come because I will send him to you. It's actually better for you. It's the best thing for you, Jesus says. If I am not here, but instead the Holy Spirit comes, who will dwell within you and will never leave you and will never forsake you. God's literal presence with us forever. Scripture says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he also gives you power. He's your counselor. He's your guide, he's your comforter, and he's the one that will give you power to fulfill all that God has called you to. Power. Amazing. So today, what I want to do for you is I want to look at five things. I want to get practical today. Five things that Holy Spirit will give you power to do in the name of Jesus. If you've got your books out, your notebooks, I encourage you to take it out, because guess what? If you don't take notes, you're not learning anything, by the way. You'll forget half it before you go for your first ice cream, right? So take some notes, get your phone out. The first thing, if you're taking notes, is this: the power of salvation. The Holy Spirit gives you the power of salvation. So let's start there. That's the first step. What happens? The Spirit of God is drawing you to Jesus Christ. So you're supernaturally drawn to Christ through the Holy Spirit. And then God can save you from sin and shame and death and the broken habits that you keep picking up miraculously because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A good example of this is actually played out in Scripture, is when Jesus, he was having a conversation with this religious guy. His name is Nicodemus. We'll call him Nick. Now, Nick didn't want his other Pharisee buddies to know that he was even talking to Jesus. So he actually sneaks out in the middle of the night, right? And he comes to Jesus and he's like, Jesus, you know, you're pretty amazing, right? You've been doing all these miracles. You must be from God. But Jesus goes on to say, hang on, wait a second. First, you need to be born again before you can understand any of this. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm an old man. How do I enter back into my mother and be born again? This makes no sense. It's like weird. I'm all grown up now, you know? Jesus, sounds pretty impossible. Jesus goes on to respond to him in this way in John 3 and 5. Jesus answered and said, now, I am telling you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of what else? And of the Spirit. Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but what else? Say this with me. But Spirit gives birth to Spirit. In other words, your mom gave you physical birth, but your heavenly Father will give you a spiritual birth. You are born again of the Spirit. You can be spiritually born anew. See, when you invite Jesus Christ to be your forgiver and your leader, the Savior and the Lord of your life, all of your sin is gone, by the way. Gone under the blood of Jesus. It's cast away into the sea of forgetfulness, you might hear. The Holy Spirit, then, what does he do? He fills you completely and does this beautiful work of transformation and continues to transform you into the very likeness of Christ. And now what? Now I can walk my life pleasing before God because you've been spiritually born anew. You've been spiritually born again. Now, some people will say, well, how do I really know if I belong to God? How do I really know if I'm really his? How do you know if you belong to your heavenly Father? Well, great question. I'm glad you're asking all the hard questions right now. But he tells you this. He tells you through his Spirit, speaking to your spirit. And Scripture says it in this beautiful way in Romans 8 and 16. He says the Spirit himself, God's Holy Spirit, testifies with what? Testifies with our spirit. That we are what? That we are God's children. That's what God's Spirit is doing. He's testifying within you, with your spirit, that you belong to me, my child. See, the power of the Holy Spirit leads us to salvation, and we are spiritually born again. We are born anew. We have a new man, a new creation, not a restored version of you. Not a new and improved version of your old self. That's not what God's doing. That's not what the Holy Spirit's doing. But new. It's a fresh start. That's why Scripture says so much about, hey, don't go back to the former ways. Don't go back to the former man. Don't be like a dog who goes back to his vomit. But you can live new in Christ. Don't do that. You are born again. You are alive and new in Christ Jesus. A new man and a new woman. And the Holy Spirit of God says, he says, you're mine. His Spirit is testifying with your spirit that you belong to him, that you're a child of the living God. The power of salvation. You have this deep sense of spiritual assurance, like, wow, I belong to God. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he gives you power. Another thing the Holy Spirit does, if you're taking notes again, this one, the Holy Spirit will give you power to what? To walk in God's will. See, when you don't know what to do or where to go or what to say or how to make it throughout your week or through your day, the power of the Holy Spirit will do something in you. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing, living and working. He will guide you and lead you to walk in the very will of the living God. For example, listen again to the words of Jesus in John 14 and 26. Jesus said this, but the counselor, now who's that? The Holy Spirit, whom what? The Father will send in my name, will do what? Say it aloud. He will teach you all things. And he will what? He will also remind you of everything Jesus is saying that I've said to you. Imagine that. Holy Spirit as your teacher, your counselor, your guide. He's leading you to walk in God's will, in God's perfect plan for your life. And he's teaching you, and he's leading you, and he's drawing you. This is true for those of you who are followers of Jesus, believers. The power of the Holy Spirit moves into you, and he will be your counselor. He'll be your guide, and he will enable you and empower you to walk in the perfect will of God. Beautiful. So let's say that you are somewhere and going through something at this point in your life, and maybe your family is facing something, and you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't even know what's my next steps. What do we do first? Friends, we teach this all. What do we do first? The first response is, I want to pray first. Let prayer be your first response and not your last resort in your life. But if you choose to pray first and go to the Father who has sent an advocate, who has sent a helper, who has sent a guide and a teacher who will help you and lead you and guide you, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, has come alongside of you. And when you go to prayer, I want to encourage you this. Some of you, when you go to prayer, you don't stop. You don't shut up. You don't stop talking. Stop talking for a few moments. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Listen sometimes. Because the Holy Spirit wants to talk. He wants to have a call. It's not a one-way street. You just talk, sending up stuff to heaven and hoping something holy falls down maybe, right? But it's a relationship, friends. He wants to talk to you. He wants to guide you and lead you. It's a conversation that you can have. The voice of the Holy Spirit actually desires to speak to you. So make room for reflection and to listen, to stop and hear what the word of the Lord is. Or maybe you're in a situation at work, in school, and maybe you're just walking by someone and you sense Holy Spirit saying, hey, I want you to talk to that person. I want you to reach out and say hello and smile, make some eye contact, whatever it might be. He leads you to go and to reach out to that person. Or maybe you're in the middle of a conversation. You don't know what to say when someone's sharing something that they're walking through, and Holy Spirit will put something in your heart to speak when you're listening, when you're anticipating Holy Spirit to come alongside you in your life. And so what do? We listen. We make room to listen for Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit gives you the words to say. And how is he doing this, by the way? Because it's God speaking to you, leading you to walk in his perfect will. He's your guide, your counselor. And you can be, by the way, be led by the Spirit as he empowers you to walk in his perfect will. It's a lot like this. When you know Christ and you're filled with Holy Spirit, he'll guide you and he'll lead you step by step. And you're not led by your own faults or your own passions or your own desires and motivations, but you are led by the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like Spirit saying, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, maybe that's not a good idea. Would you stop looking at that picture? Would you stop going into that location? Would you, hey, maybe that person's not the right relationship for you. Oh, that job's actually keeping you from faithing with your church family. Maybe that's probably not the right situation for you. Listening for the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. The Spirit of truth. That agenda? No, that's not me, that's you. So what do? We follow the leading of the Holy. We make room to listen for Holy Spirit and let him lead us. And step by step, the voice of the Spirit is going to talk to you and warn you and encourage you and help you champion life here and now. It's step by step that you follow the voice of the Spirit in your life. And he leads you to walk in God's will. In fact, Jesus said it this way in John 16 and 13. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will what? He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to walk in God's will. The Holy Spirit, he gives you the power of salvation. He draws you to Christ. And he'll give you the power to walk in God's perfect will. A third thing, if you're taking notes, is this. The Holy Spirit will also give you the power to share Christ boldly. We're talking about the power and presence of the living God in you, friends, coming alongside you, walking this out with you. And he's giving the power to share Christ boldly. He will give you the power, the wisdom, the words to share this good news of Jesus, who has set me free from past brokenness and broken habits and shame and bondage. Let me tell you my story, what Jesus has done for me. He gives you boldness. And some of you, maybe like a lot of people, maybe you've known, sometimes you get really nervous and intimidated. We've all been there, right? When you're talking to someone else about spiritual things and about God, and you don't know, I'm going to get shut down. They're going to cancel me. And you might even think, well, I'd like to reach out to them, but you know, I just might mess it up. I might say the wrong words. They might ask me a question. I have no idea what they're talking about, big fish and big boats in the Bible. I don't know. I just don't have all the answers, right? And so we get intimidated and all mixed up and fearful about sharing this good news. They might ask me a question about a verse and I'm clueless and I don't really know, right? And so rather than sharing Christ, you hold back from sharing the good news. But understand this, as a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is giving you the power actually to share the good news and the love of Christ very boldly. That's what he's doing in you, power to share boldly. Even the Apostle Paul, he knew this. And he was a little insecure about some of his preaching one day. And he writes this, he records this in 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. He said this, he said, my message and my preaching were not even wise and with persuasive words, but instead they were what? A demonstration of what? Say, of the Spirit's power. So it wasn't wise and persuasive words, but it's actually a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? So that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom or lift them up or idolize them, but the Holy Spirit wants to be made known in public. He's saying, my abilities weren't even that great. I'm not even an incredible speaker, but when I opened my mouth, the Holy Spirit came and he did what only he could do. And that's what I love about the foolishness of preaching. And maybe I'm not that good. It doesn't even matter. The Holy Spirit will say things to you that I'm not even saying tonight. I'll say something and then bing, the Holy Spirit says completely something over here. And you're like, whoa, God just spoke to me. I And he will, because that's what he does. He talks to you, and he's personalizing this message for you. And he's talking to you because he has a relationship with you, and he knows the in and outs of your life. I don't. I'm not God, but he does. He knows your inner thoughts. He knows the things you're wrestling with. He knows the secrets that you tucked away in your back corner. He knows, and he wants to personalize his word for you. It's boldly I'm able to share Christ with someone else. God has helped me because he's given me a supernatural boldness. So what do? I just start sharing, because now I'm walking in the power to share the good news of Jesus. And then you might ask a question. And you might think, you know, I don't know how to respond. And next thing you know, you're quoting scripture, because all of a sudden the Holy Spirit light lit up a scripture that you memorized 10 years ago. And you're like, boom, that was the moment that Holy Spirit utilized what he had planted as a seed in your heart. And you spoke that word of truth. Where did that come from? I don't know. I didn't even think I even knew that verse. It's because the Holy Spirit is prompting you and guiding you and giving you divine boldness, friends. Walk in it. It's okay. It doesn't matter if you have it all figured out, if you know all the Christian, you know, lingo and Christianese and every Bible verse. Don't worry about it. Just open your mouth and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit to share boldly the good news of Jesus. And guess what? He's going to talk through you. He is. He will. There's another great example of this in Scripture when Peter and John were released from the courts of the Sanhedrin. And they went back to this little place with some of their buddies to pray. And here's what Scripture says in Acts 4 and 31. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Now think about this. God shows up supernaturally and shakes the building. And it goes on. Scripture says, and they were all filled with what? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God. How? They spoke it boldly as God empowered them. Not by our own knowledge, our own wisdom, or by our own persuasive words, but by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the Paracletos, who has come alongside you. What does he do? Holy Spirit, he gives you the power of salvation. He gives you the power to walk in God's will. He gives you the power to share Christ boldly. And the fourth one, the Holy Spirit also gives you power to live a holy life. A holy life. That's what he's doing. When the forces of darkness want to tempt you into a sinful lifestyle, or the power of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to live a holy life, which is separated from the way of the world, from our host culture's influence, for his good works and his divine purposes. In fact, Scripture says it this way in Romans 8 and 5 to 6. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, guess what we think about when we're dominated by sinful nature? We think about sinful things. Amazing. But for those who are controlled by what? Say it aloud. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. See, before a person even knows Christ, it's so easy to be dominated by sinful thoughts and lust and the pleasures of this world, right? You go ahead and lose your mind. Be jealous. Get it out of your system, right? Go and be bitter. Drink all the poison, right? Because without living with the Holy Spirit, without Holy Spirit coming alongside you, we are vulnerable to the temptation of the evil one. But when we know Christ, when we are filled with his Spirit, and his Spirit is giving us power, his Spirit is actually giving us power to live a holy life. Beautiful. How much he is doing in us and through us when we believe. His Spirit is renewing our mind, and we start to think about the things that please him instead of the desires of our fleshly nature, our human nature. Scripture goes on to say this in verse 6 of the same book, Romans chapter 8. It says, if your sinful nature controls your mind, this brings death. There is death. That's the fruit of that, by the way. But if what? Say it aloud again. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. Friends, will you be controlled by the Spirit? Would you surrender your willpower per se to the Holy Spirit? Would you surrender what your desires and your motivations, your personal agenda to the Holy Spirit tonight to lead you and to guide you into all truth? Or will you be controlled by your sinful nature? Your sinful mind, even. Think about it this way. Before you are a follower of Jesus Christ, sinning can be a lot of fun. And some of you have enjoyed sin to the fullest, right? Woo! Party it up. Be a total blast. But once you're a follower of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, those things that maybe brought you pleasure that was actually sin, that was actually bringing forth death in your life and in your relationships, is no longer fun. You don't even enjoy it anymore. You feel convicted. You feel like, I shouldn't be really doing this. It doesn't actually bring life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is giving you the power and convicting you toward living a holy life, separated unto him for his pleasure and his glory. In fact, before you know Christ, it's almost impossible to step out of some sin. Why? Because there's a battle going on, friends. Like we talked last week, the forces of darkness against the forces of light. But when you are filled with the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit will show you the way out of that temptation. The Holy Spirit will show you the way out of that sin when you follow a Holy Spirit. What else does the Holy Spirit do? Galatians 5 says we have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, what are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, self-disciplined mind. Beautiful. See, often we think it's plural and we're like, I'll just take one of them. It's not plural, friends. It's fruit. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's all of them or none of them, by the way. That was for free. It's all in. I'm all in, Jesus. I want the fruit of the Holy Spirit to grow on all of my branches. Holy Spirit gives you the power to live a holy life. Scripture says it this way in Galatians 5 and 16. So I advise you, live according to your what? Live according to your new life in the what again? In the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Verse 17 says, the old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. These two forces are constantly fighting with each other. And your choices are never free from this conflict, by the way. There's no neutrality in this world, in this spirit world. It's either life or death, good or evil, light and darkness. There's no middle ground, by the way. And you're in a battle. And they're constantly fighting for you. The demons, the forces of darkness, and want you to do the devil's will, actually, and doing everything they can to make sure they trip you up and to get you to do what they want you to do. But the Holy Spirit will give you the power to live a holy life. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will give you power. A fifth thing, we're wrapping up here in just a moment. If you're taking notes again, we need to recognize this. Holy Spirit will give you the power to make a difference with your spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit, when he fills you, comes alongside you, the paraclete, the comforter, the advocate, the helper, the guide, the teacher, he gives you certain spiritual gifts. Gifts that you don't even have the power to do on your own. They're from him. They are directly from God. There are spiritual gifts that will actually empower you to make a difference in the world that God has planted you in, where you live, work, play, and study. That's your world. God has given you spiritual gifts. In fact, here's how the Word of God says it in Hebrews 2 and 4. But God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by what? Would you say this aloud with me? And by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. God will give you certain gifts and certain abilities that are from and by his Holy Spirit. In fact, if you want to jot this down in your notes, there are a couple of places I want to encourage you to look in later and read. Read 1 Corinthians 12 and read Romans 12, and you can see this beautiful list of different gifts of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit gives you different gifts, friends. What are some examples? Well, Scripture says that God may give some of you the gift of wisdom. You just have this supernatural wisdom. It's because God gives it to you. And some of you may have this gift of discernment, and that you can just discern different things or certain things about different places or different people. And you don't understand why, but it's a gift from God. Some of you may have the gift of prophecy, and you can call things out even before they're even there, and you can speak life and encouragement to the life of others. Some of you may have the gift of giving, and you give and you just can't seem to give enough. There's more to give. It's just, I just want to keep giving. You've got the gift of giving. Some of you have the gift of serving, and you just love to serve, and you're good at serving, and you're blessed by serving other people and one another. And you make a difference by serving. This is a gift. Some of you have the spiritual gift of encouragement, of administration. Like, you can organize like nobody's business. You got a gift in this. Gift of evangelism. You can lead people to Christ like it's easy for you. You love it. This is your passion. God's given you a gift. Maybe he's given you the gift of mercy when you see someone else hurting and in need. You're there. You're able to feel with them and to provide those needs with them. The gift of teaching, the gift of discipling others, the gift of making chocolate chip cookies. Wow, what a spiritual gift. Some of you are amazing at hospitality. You knock it out of the park every time, right? You have a gift. God has given you a spiritual gift. And God will give you these supernatural gifts to use within the church and to make a difference in this world that we're planted in. You have gifts. And you know, friends, sometimes your gifts may be underutilized and even underdeveloped. See, when you got that bicycle for Christmas, you just didn't get on it like, woo, you were gifted in riding that bicycle. Someone gave you that gift, but you had to get on that bicycle and learn how to ride it. Well, God's given you some gifts, friends, and you might have to pull a recipe out and learn how to make the best chocolate chip cookies in the world. You might have to learn how to use that gift or partner in that gift with God to work it into a skill, to develop it. It's a gift. Develop your gifting so that you can skillfully play that instrument, so you can skillfully sing, so you can skillfully serve one another. Develop it. Maybe for some of you, it's natural, though. And we've seen that. We've all known, man, that person is naturally gifted. Well, serve as worship then, right? It's a gift that God gave you to partner with you for his church, for his body, and to make a difference in the world that every one of us have been planted in. And understand this, though. If this is your church home, friends, you call this home and you've got a gift and you're not using it, then there's something that God wants done that's not being done. So I want you to take that home and think about it tonight. Get in the game. Get off the bench. God has given you a wiring, has given you a gift, and God wants you to use it. God wants to partner with you in working that gift into a skill set. He's gifted you with his spiritual gifts to make a difference in his local church and in this world that he's planted you in. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7 says this, a spiritual gift is given to, would you say it? A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Every one of us is gifted in some way for some purpose that God has given us for what? For common good of helping the entire church and those I'm surrounded by, the circles of influence that I'm in. God's Holy Spirit will come and he will give you power. Now, let me wrap up with these two pieces of spirit-filled advice really quickly before we wrap up, because I think this is really important for us to understand. Two pieces of advice. And the first one is this: whatever you do, stop resisting the Holy Spirit. He's been talking, he's been leading, and you've been resisting Holy Spirit. And I'm encouraging you, stop it. Stop. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't resist the direction and the voice of the living God who has come alongside you, who is living. Stop resisting him. You might say, well, how can I resist it? Well, those of you who are believers, you'll know that there are times when somehow you know the Spirit is talking to you and is prompting you and speaking, and you feel deeply stirred within your heart and soul and mind. This spiritual direction, you just can't explain it. You know you're feeling drawn, just like I can't explain some of my gifts or your gifts. But you just know, I believe God wants me to do this. And at that moment, you have a choice. You can obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit, or you can say, that's probably just the Chinese buffet I just had speaking. I don't want to do it anyway. Friends, I encourage you to stop resist. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Listen. Respond. In fact, when Stephen in the New Testament was giving his famous speech before he was stoned by some other religious people, he was going off on them, and you'll see why he got stoned. This is what he said. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. All of a sudden, rocks are going, right? You're just like your fathers. Nobody likes to hear you're just like your mom. You always do what? You always resist the Holy Spirit. Think of it this way. My wife, thinking of anniversaries and marriage and the time we've had together, best woman ever, and she's always just wanted to hug me and kiss me, and she's always coming on to me and, like, you know, giving me eyes and making moves all the time, like, hey, baby, right? Girl. I mean, like, every day, right? Imagine with me. What if I resisted her? Day after day after day, what if I resisted her beautiful moves? What do you think she's going to eventually do? She's going to stop. Let me just put that in easy terms for you. Right? Because I'm resisting. Which would be a horrible thing to experience, wouldn't it? In a loving relationship. If you continue to resist the Holy Spirit, friends, you could actually hurt and grieve his feelings, grieve the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Like we said, Scripture talks about this, about grieving the Holy Spirit and quenching the Holy, like pouring hot water or water on a hot fire, quenching. That's that. If you resist the Spirit long enough, one day you're going to wake up and go, why am I not sensing Holy Spirit? Why am I all of a sudden feeling like I'm in this dry place, distant from God, and I don't feel like I'm hearing from him? Could it be that maybe you've been resisting Holy Spirit and you've hurt him, you've quenched him? Friends, do not resist Holy Spirit. Second thing, if you're taking notes, is this: whatever you do, be filled over and over and continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 and 18 says this: hey, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be what? Be filled with the Spirit of God. What does alcohol do if you drink enough of it? It impairs your judgment. It impairs your cognitions. It makes you weird. And, you know, it makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do. It takes control of you. Don't let some substance control you, is what the author is saying here. But instead be so filled with the Holy Spirit of God that the Spirit of God is controlling you. And the way you think and the way you behave and where you go and the way you lead your steps in your life. And that you hear from him and that he's leading you and that he's guiding you and that he's correcting you and that he's convicting. No, not that way, this way. As you are walking along, that you can sense that God is saying, do this. No, don't do that. Come. Obey him. Don't resist him. Listen and be filled. Friends, I want to leave you with a quote here on our slides. We don't walk by sight, friends. We walk by faith. This is faithing. We don't have it all figured out. If you did, it wouldn't be faithing. We walk by faith as the Spirit speaks to us and guides us and empowers us and leads us. We are actually living the Spirit-filled life. But God gives us the words to say. God moves us in the directions that he wants us to go. We follow his voice and he will give us the power and he gives us the ability. He gives us the discernment. He gives us the direction for our lives. He gives us the ability to do what he actually called us to do. And when Holy Spirit comes, and he'll give you power to please God in every single way of your life, if you will surrender, if you will let him, permit him. May that be so with all of us, friends. As we're talking about suit up, being prepared, living in the power and the overflow of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, walking by faith. We want to pray and invite Holy Spirit to do his work in us tonight, I believe. And tonight, before we close, we're going to close with some ministry time. I believe it's important that we have an opportunity tonight to say, God, I haven't been walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've been walking in my own way and in my own will and in my own power, and I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And maybe it's because you've been resisting. Maybe it's because you've been listening to the other noises and influences around you. Maybe you've let the algorithms of your world dictate your decisions more than the Holy Spirit. And tonight's a moment to say, God, I repent from that. I've had my priorities everywhere else but in you, Christ. And tonight God's saying, hey, friends, come, let me fill you to overflowing, because he's given you power to walk in his Spirit, to walk in the life that you're walking, to walk in the situations you're walking through. So all around the room tonight, as the worship team is going to lead us in just a moment, but I want to pray with this. So if we would just stand to our feet, I think it'd be an opportunity just to have a physical response tonight. And I want to pray for you, and then we're going to sing this closing song, and then I'm going to come back and talk one more second before we close.